The second exercise consists in finding explicit formulas for the constants beta gamma from the energy estimate that you saw during one of the previous lectures with Professor Nobili. In particular, we are in an open bounded set U. You have given the bilinear form B from H10 times H10 into R, associated to the partial differential operator L, given by the usual formula and satisfying the ellipticity condition, true. We know, that there are constants beta and gamma positive such that B of u satisfies this inequality, so beta the H1 norm of u squared is controlled by B of u plus gamma the H2 norm of u squared for all u in H10. Then you have to find the explicit formula to express beta and gamma in terms of theta, the L infinity norm of the BI and the L infinity norm of C. Remember that theta is the ellipticity constant. And there were at least two different ways, and you were asked to find it at least in one. So let's see. So B of UV, of course, is the integral over U of the sum from I and J from 1 to n of Aij, Uxi, Vxj, plus the sum from I from 1 to n, Bi, Uxi, V, plus Cuv for U and V in H10. Therefore, the ellipticity immediately tells us that the integral over U of the sum of I over I and J from 1 to n of Aij, this should be U, of course, Uxi, Uxj is larger or equal than theta, the integral over u of the u squared. But this is BUU minus the rest, so the integral over u sum of BI Uxi u plus C u squared for u in H10. Then this is less equal. Now let's exaggerate instead of minus this term, let's take plus the absolute value, bring the absolute value inside, bring outside the sum of the L infinity norm of the BIs, the L infinity norm of C. Instead of Uxi, put the norm of du, so it's exaggeration. And now we estimate this term using Young's inequality. So AB is less equal than epsilon A squared plus B squared over 4 epsilon for any AB positive and epsilon positive, of course. So that we can estimate all of this with the BUU, some constant CB, which is the sum of from I from 1 to n of the L infinity norm of the BIs, epsilon, the integral over U of du squared, plus 1 over 4 epsilon, the integral over U of u squared, plus the L infinity norm of C, the integral over U of u squared. Now, if epsilon is small enough, that is, it's between 0 and theta over CB, we can bring this term on the left-hand side and get this inequality. No? Trivially. So now, you see, this would be our beta. Here, this should be our beta, and this should be our gamma, no? One would say, and instead, no, I mean, almost, we're almost there, because here there is the L2 norm of du, not the H1 norm, and here instead there is clearly the H1 norm squared. So we need to find a way to get here on the left-hand side the H1 norm of u. Since u is in H10, one can, of course, exploit Poincaré inequality. Or one can notice that if we sum on both sides the L2 norm of u squared times the same constant, theta minus epsilon cb, this is the H1 norm of u squared. Both approaches, Poincaré inequality. Poincaré inequality tells us that the L2 norm of u is controlled by a constant, depending on n and on u, the L2 norm of du. This immediately implies that the H1 norm of u squared is controlled by c squared plus 1 times the L2 norm of du. But this means that the H1 norm of the u squared is controlled from below by the H1 norm of u squared divided by c squared plus 1. So that the previous inequality gives us this one for any epsilon from 0 to theta over cb. So we can choose epsilon to be theta over 2 cb so that beta becomes theta over 2 c squared plus 1. And gamma becomes, so you put here epsilon, you get the sum over from for I which goes from 1 to n of bi. dell'infinity norm of bi all squared over 2 theta, for simplifies with 2 here, plus dell'infinity norm of c. By the way, notice that if c and bi are all zero, I mean, b is the, there is only the elliptic part, clearly this term vanishes. Instead, with the approach of the sum, so we sum on both sides theta minus epsilon cb dl2 norm of u squared, here we clearly get theta minus epsilon cb as constant. And here, cb over 4 epsilon plus dl infinity norm of c plus theta minus epsilon cb. Setting again epsilon theta over 2 cb, I mean, why 1 half? It doesn't really matter that much. One could put lambda theta over cb for any lambda in 0, 1. And then here we would get on the left-hand side 1 minus lambda, and on the right-hand side there would be a lambda factor. Instead of here of 2, there would be 4 lambda. It's 1 half just to pick up 1. But with this choice we get that beta is theta over 2, and gamma is the cb squared over 2 theta plus dell'infinity norm of c plus theta over 2. And you know, notice one thing, that in this way beta is larger, because here we have theta over 2 divided again by 1 plus a non-negative constant. Sorry, a non-zero constant, because c squared. Instead here we have only theta over 2. And vice versa, this gamma is smaller, because here we get exactly the same term plus an additional theta over 2, while instead here there is not. So why prefer one method or the other? For this reason, basically. With the Poincaré inequality approach, we get a beta constant smaller, and we get a smaller beta, yes, and some gamma. Instead, with the approach of the sum, we get a slightly larger beta and again a larger gamma. Why one thing is better than the other, it depends on what we're going to do, simply.